Our final subject today.
Thank you, Gustavo, and this is your first visit to the board table, so it would be nice for today.
I'll have something here for DRM.
Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda paper 19. Interest rate benchmarks such as LIBOR, Euribor, and TIBOR play a key role in the global financial markets. These benchmarks, usually referred to as IBORs, index trillions of dollars in a wide variety of financial products, from derivatives to residential mortgages. Recent market developments have brought into question the long-term viability of such types of interest rates benchmarks. In some jurisdictions, there is already a clear steer towards replacing them by alternative, nearly risk-free rates, which are based on, to a higher extent, on transaction data. The possible discontinuation of these benchmarks could have a significant and widespread impact across financial markets. Not surprisingly, there is increasing interest by stakeholders in potential effects on financial reporting. In this paper, we present further background on such recent developments and propose that the board add a research project to its active research agenda. The objective of this project would be to assess the effects on financial reporting of a potential discontinuation of IBORs. As described in paragraph 21 of this paper, the project would have limited scope of activities and we do not anticipate concerns over resourcing. If the board agrees with our recommendation, we will provide an update on our preliminary findings in future meetings. I will now ask you whether you agree with our recommendation and, if so, whether you have any comments or thoughts on the research project proposal.
Darryl?
Is this predominantly a sort of a desktop thing, something that you'll be doing in-house, or does this actually require us to go out and speak to people and do outreach outside of the...
We've already started doing that, Darryl. We have done an in-house thing, but at the end of the day, I think it's always good to talk to the people who are doing this in anger every day, so we have spoken to people. Yeah.
Gary?
Thank you. And, I have actually no issue with taking on this research project, should that be the consensus of the room. But, and as I noticed, you note up in paragraph 8, there's like $300 trillion notional dollars, you know, in this market today. And then you go to paragraph 18. Which said there could be the potential discontinuation of a significant widespread impact on financial markets. So presumably that's referencing the $300 trillion that's there today goes away.
Yeah.
But the people who decide these things, the central bankers and the heads of the major banks, I mean, wouldn't we expect they would be aware of how important these rates are out there and they'd somehow manage the glide path down? Is it really as urgent as we think? They're not going to change it tomorrow and say we're no longer using LIBOR. I mean, that's embedded, or are they? You know, I'm just wondering, I agree with the project, but is the sense of urgency quite as it's articulated in here?
It is urgent because we need to get into it because of the simple reason, Gary, you're absolutely right. They've been started this from after the crisis.
Yeah,
so it's coming to the fruition.
10 years ago, you know.
And it's coming to the fruition now. So that's when the statements are coming out. People are saying this is what will happen and everything. So that is why we are starting to look at the accounting side now. So it is in the near horizon now.
Okay, but would they grandfather what's there? And, okay, no new business can go under LIBOR, you know, per se, but we'll keep it going until most of the old business runs off. I mean,
they have given a glide path, as you rightly said. But again, I can talk only about certain jurisdictions because some are more ahead of the others. So there's a glide path, for example, in UK, again, indicated till 2021. That's when it will start coming. But it is happening. That's why we are looking at it.
Okay.
Yes. There is a sense of urgency to this.
Okay.
In fact, I had the opposite concern to Gary. I certainly support that you work on this, but out of the paper, I didn't grasp the extent of the work that you would be doing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my concern was that we would not be in a kind of monitoring a situation position only. You would already be working on how, I mean, in fact, develop material following your observations in paragraph 14.
Mm-hmm.
So starting assessing what would have to be done in terms of standard setting in order to face a forced change in the right.
So are you concerned that we are already getting into solutions before coming to you with what the challenges might be?
No, in fact,
we've been too passive.
Because, I mean, you mentioned, you allude to the potential challenges in paragraph 14. When you describe what you're going to do in paragraph 22, it seems that you're just going to have some form of watching. Whereas I understand that you don't know enough to die in order to bring us into standard setting, but I would expect that your work is such that you can bring us into standard setting as soon as things are clear enough.
That's the objective. I don't think that's what we want. Give a different impression from that.
Okay.
That's the objective. So that when we say monitoring, and the markets will do what they do. I'm concerned about the accounting side of things. Some of the implications will happen, and the standards will pick it up. Not something we can do, but it's to inform the board. We most probably certain areas where we need to act, and we need, what the thing is, we are sifting them, and then we'll come back to you as a time. The other thing is why we are also just slightly reticent about the timing, and I know we have been open this. Also, as different jurisdictions are doing this at different paces. So I don't want to act and come to you that these are the problems until I've got a slightly bigger idea of what's happening. Most of it's in very different stages.
But you were preparing in order to be in the standard setting act.
Absolutely. That's why, as I said, we have been in outreach meetings already.
Then I fully support it.
Apologies. That's what we want to give the impression.
So
I think we flatter ourselves a bit to think we've got the luxury of deciding not to work on this, actually. I think this is a really big deal in the market and really important. And just to give Francois some comfort, I know that already quite a lot of analysis has been undertaken. So what Kumar and his team are going through at the moment, as I understand it, is really trying to identify all of the accounting questions that come up when suddenly the rates go away. Some of them we hope we can, the standards can already accommodate, and maybe we'll need to look at whether we need educational materials. And then I think you're trying to work out what's most urgent and where we might actually need to do standard setting. So sort of scoping work, but very active. And some of it could be really urgent because it starts to get into, forecast cash flows and things like that. So it could be a more immediate effect than other issues. And so we need to, I think, try and work out what's more time critical than other things and how much we can do and when, given that we don't really have a complete picture of what's going to replace the different rates around the world. And it's very difficult for us because there's so many different regimes we have to deal with.
For example, now one of the challenges, and I'm just bringing that as an example for ourselves, which is slightly fundamental, it comes in, is that when it's a floating interest rate, and let's say the interest rate resets every 3 months, at the beginning of January, let's say it resets, so you know on 31st of March how much you will pay, because that's what the reset works, that's going to change. So you might not know until the end. So that's causing some consternation, among other things, but markets will settle down. So as and when we do, because the mechanism will also affect what we do with the accounting, especially with that, the implications are there. Yes,
but also I think we need to maybe even make sure that we're not just looking at financial instruments, because I think we might need to think about, for example, lease accounting. Is there implications for anything with discounting?
Anything.
And IFRS 13 from a valuation perspective. So yes. I think there's a whole range of potential knock-ons that we need to scope. And to me, it's a lot like the novation amendments we had to make, not saying we necessarily have to make amendments, but we needed to stop and look at our literature because it was a very real market impact because of change in regulation, and that's very similar.
Absolutely. It's very similar to the novation. It will be broader. It's a broad impact, but it's there.
Darrell? Just to say, I didn't mention earlier, but I strongly support doing this. I think we have to do it. A lot of what Sue said as well. So.
Also, think absolutely we have to do this. I think it might be helpful to think about even starting to communicate in advance of what we, of when we know that what we have to do. What I mean is we have to figure out, and I'm thinking of innovations here, whether we think the change or changes, because there are several that are coming, are things that not just can be addressed within the literature, but should or should not cause accounting changes to be recognized. You know, what we concluded with novations was we thought that this was a one-off thing that should not disrupt trend information and therefore should not force restarts of hedge accounting, so that although we had an answer in the standard, we thought the answer was not a fair reflection, you know, a faithful representation of what was happening. So I think it's setting out, you know, we have to figure out what the changes are. We have to think about, you know, how do we act in a timely way so that change consequences that the changes have that we think should be reflected get reflected in the period in which they occur, rather than diversity in practice establishing itself, but also identify if there are any changes that we think should not be, should not disrupt accounting or should not be accounted for, and then do we have to do standard setting to make it not get captured. And there are kind of two buckets, because it seems to be one is a change from a risk-adjusted to a risk-free rate, but the other seems to be a prospect of a significant change in duration from, you know, because it seems to be that they're going to quotes based on overnight.
No, you need to have only a term structure.
What?
You need to have the thing. That is, the overnight quote is the base rate. But, well, there's a big debate on term structure.
Is it just one thing in terms of the literally, here's a different, I used to drive a Ford and now I'm driving, you know, a Mercedes. It's, you know, it's a different car. Or is it, I used to, you know, have something small and, you know, now large in terms of duration or other features. If it's just because they don't make X anymore, I'm using Y. Or, which is part of it, but in the process, are they forcing me to upgrade to, you know, a different instrument? Those are saying, and I think you're thinking about them, but I think split it out so that we start talking about this, because if we think that a change has to be captured, you said one jurisdiction was making a change in 2021. Talking about something cutting over in 2021, I think we have to be talking about what our expectations are, that this should be reflected in the accounting in 2021, if that's when the change occurs. And that also means that presumably somebody should be starting to say, here's what kind of impact it's going to have in advance of, oh, look, this is what's flowing through in 2021. So I think we have to have thought through that stuff about, you know, what are the changes that we think should have an accounting consequence and what are the changes we think should not have an accounting consequence. And I don't know whether we need standard setting to accomplish the first, the second, or both.
Neither do I. That's
yeah.
what we're saying.
Yeah.
The regulatory community knock on our door. Please do something.
Yes.
We have been in touch.
Yep.
Yeah. So now I'm absolutely convinced we should do it before. It was just okay. Now I've been educated. But reflecting on our dynamic risk management project, since that's all interest rate swaps and obviously related, I would answer the question, this project, not that one. That one's going to be hard enough to get done. But would this be an example of an involuntary change?
Yes, I've used that as an example
okay.
in DRM before. This
yeah,
is an
okay, involuntary yeah. I don't know if it's on which port.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I used that as an
okay.
example. This is an involuntary change, which is massively disruptive.
Something, you know.
For the staff to do work.
I think
yeah.
so.
Thank you. All in favor?
All right.
Not that I'm saying. Okay, 14. Thank you.